Nazareth. Nazareth, 100%. I put money on it. Obviously, I won't. I'm a Christian.
I went to Ascot, boy.
Ascot, man.
How was that?
It's good, man. Yeah. It was good.
I want to go, you know.
Yeah, go. It's really good.
The top hats and all of that. Yeah, and the suits.
It's a fun time, man.
Did they give food when you're out there?
Yeah.
Like,
do you get food? It's expensive, bruv. Man bought a pizza, yeah. This is how like hungry I was. Man bought a pizza for £12. You know the ones that you can get in chicken shop? No, the chicken shop one's like six inch for like £2.99, £4.99, whatever. £12 I paid for it.
But if I'm hungry, I'm hungry.
I scoffed it. That, you know what I mean? That's how I proper ate it.
I was like that yesterday. So after... Because I've been going to classes for my professional exam. So before we came to record yesterday, I went to McDonald's. I was mad hungry because I started sweating and shaking. And it was the one by St. Paul's Cathedral. So like the food comes to you, like, and so I'm waiting. And where's the food? And I'm looking at my hand's proper shaking. And I ordered a double cheeseburger, a big tasty, chips and a drink.
I feel like but you've been running and
I know
stuff.
I was hungry. I was hungry, mad hungry, but it's fine. Now, I don't normally do that, but I was just like really, really hungry.
But you've been running.
But you've been running and I stuff, know. Afolabi.
It's just the one time. Oh my God.
Afolabi.
So you think I'm bad, yeah? See, my sisters, My sisters have been going gym for like...
Don't point the finger.
Don't point the finger.
I don't care, I'm pointing the
focus
finger.
Focus on you.
Focus on yourself.
Don't talk to me in that tone, man.
Afolabi, you've been running.
So ashamed of you.
Do you know what? I remember back in the day with McDonald's, fam, I would go... After college, this was my routine. Finish college, 3:30. My work starts at 5 o'clock, Man, we'll go to McDonald's, and eat. I'll do my 4-hour shift from 5 to 9.
Yeah.
Mum has already cooked dinner.
Yeah.
On my way home, you know that Charlton McDonald's from JD? I'll just go in there, get a little cheeky double cheeseburger for the journey of the 132 home. When I get home, eat again.
Yes,
I was addicted to McDonald's, and for that reason, I gave it up for 4 years. And then when we went to Barcelona, I jumped back on it again.
Yeah, we were
in
hungry,
Barcelona.
Man.
Yeah, in Barcelona. Yeah, I was just hungry. Like, you know what, I'm hungry. It's late.
Thing is, the McDonald's in Barcelona is better than here. You get
instead of
some normal Big Mac. Like
the French McDonald's is nice as well.
It is nice.
It is nice. They serve beer in there as well in the French one.
They do.
Yeah,
I like Paris though.
Paris.
I only like the inside bit of Paris, like the centre.
Yeah.
Because if you go to the outskirts of it,
that's where you get the real Paris.
Dirty, cuz. Dirty. I'll be real. Yeah, disgusting. The graffiti and everything.
You know when you ate at McDonald's,
yeah? Yeah.
Did you feel like there was a black hole in your stomach afterwards?
Yeah, I did.
Every time I eat McDonald's, I feel like I've eaten something, but eaten nothing.
It's just trash.
It's like I've eaten something and eaten nothing at the same time. It's such a weird feeling.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird. My mum pointed it out to me like at one point. Do you know what food I don't like here? Burger King.
Burger King is bad.
I don't like it. No,
chicken royale with cheese.
The double I think it's the chips.
Ooh!
I think it's the chips, you know. I don't like there's a feeling that I
don't
like.
You want the Burger King burger with the McDonald's chips.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
No.
Yeah.
But it's an idea, bro.
Hey, Uber Eats. Uber Eats. Do something, innit? Do something. Because Burger King isn't on Uber Eats yet, so you know.
KFC's on Uber Eats now, I think.
Is it? Hey.
Oh, no. Just Eat. KFC's on.
Oh yeah, my sister does that. But the thing is that
KFC I can't trust that because when the chips are cold with KFC,
they're gone, isn't it?
They're dead. You cannot reheat them.
KFC have this new wrap thing, small little wrap. I forgot what it's called, but it's nice. Hey,
have you seen their double chicken thing?
Yeah, that don't make sense. That just don't make sense.
Oh wait, it's like a burger but no bun.
No chicken, two chicken, bacon and cheese and barbecue sauce.
I could do that at home.
You know, go Iceland, get the chicken breast, get the bacon, cheese. Wasting my money.
Uni, that's what I would do.
Yeah,
that's like lazy, you know. It's one of them ones that you would do that. I'm like, oh, there's no bread at home. Like, no bun. There's no burger bun at home. All right, cool. I just slap these two together and just eat it.
And then you feel like crap. I was gonna say another word, but you feel like
ish.
You feel like ish. Honestly, afterwards,
That's what I feel like after eating Burger King, you know.
I love Burger King.
I don't feel the black hole thing after Burger King.
It's not black hole. It's more like heavy, like adultery. Like, Heavy adultery. That's heavy adultery.
No, one I don't like. I don't like Subway anymore.
No,
Subway is disgusting. Fam. Like it's the bread. Yeah, there's something about the
Shaka
bread.
Shaka bars put me on something about the bread. Yeah, fam. The same ingredient. Yeah, that they put in tarmac is in that bread. Like the same whatever. Yeah, like, yeah.
There's something off about it. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't feel natural. And when I eat it, like I used to go there like all the time and get like my regular. I'd get Spicy Italian.
But get the BMT, it's like a pound cheaper, but it's basically the same thing except for one of the meats.
And I get it, and I'm just like,
or is it the
I
other way
ate
around?
It one time. One,
it's the other way around.
Italian BMT is cheaper than the spicy Italian. Is it?
They all taste the same, to be honest with you. Basically,
Except for the cheese and toasted, and you're like cheese and toasted.
The one by my workplace here is like, would you like double cheese? Double cheese? I'm like, who wants
double cheese?
I want double cheese, just cheese up the thing and toss it up for me.
I put spicy cheese, like,
I'm not on that.
A little bit, I don't know.
Okay, jalapenos. I put pickles. I love pickles. Yeah, I always love pickles. Even in McDonald's, you know them burgers. My brothers and sisters used to love pickles, bro.
Pickles are buff, man. But like Subway,
I might buy some. You know, I've never bought pickles.
There's a video of that woman eating pickles. It's so satisfying. I love it.
The thing is, yeah, give me pickles and give me a little bit of sauce, like burger sauce or something. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'll just eat that.
Yeah, certain man just what?
Burger
That's
sauce.
Dead, bro.
What?
Burger sauce.
Burger sauce and pickles, own, like. Bruv. Yeah, I could just munch that easy.
Why? That's weird.
I don't know. I can.
That's weird.
To each his own. I'm not saying that I would, but you know.
I feel like Leon and them kind of things is where I'm kind of heading these days with my fast food choices, though. Okay. But it's just so expensive, bruv.
Yeah, is like, it actually really, like, good for you?
It is actually good for you. Okay. Brown rice, chicken, like, or, like, they do, I think they've got this thing, like, gluten-free chicken nuggets now.
Gluten-free. How much it cost, though? How much is it,
too
like?
Much. Too much. Okay. It's, like, £7, bruv.
How much do you spend on lunch, like, every day, anyway?
Every day, I probably spend about £5 to £7.
And Leon, you can still go Leon then.
But you know what bangs? Coco de Mama. Yeah, have you had that one?
I go Pod, because Pod is like the closest.
I don't like Pod.
And I get like Green Energy Chicken. That's like £5. Like
go Hop. You should go Hop. Yeah, about Hop. Vietnamese.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm close to Cook Daily. I could just go there.
Every time I've gone to Cook Daily, it's closed. Every time I've been there once. Yeah, and then thereafter, sorry, we're closed for vegan nights. Sorry, we've run out of food. Sorry, we're not vegan anymore. We need meat, no. Like, I'm just thinking, like, what? I'm sort of like, open up the shop, like, especially for those that are coming after work hours. Like, not all of us are doing freelance work to be coming and getting our vegan meals in the middle of the day. And then, you know, we're not all photographers out here doing,
should we go and get some vegan food? Should we go and get some vegan fame?
It was all the employees from Vice, bro.
Yeah, all the employees from Vice right there, guys, to Cook Daily. What about we, man? What about us, man? I want to come at 7 o'clock.
I want to eat, want to munch.
Yeah, man. You know? This whole veganism thing as well, yeah. Like, the millennial generation, I mean, like, they're really taking over. Veganism, yeah. What do you lot think about that?
I think...
It's good for you, you know? Good. Mm-hmm. It's good. Like, it is. To be honest with you, like... Not you, everything in moderation is what I would say. And like eating meat, especially as we're getting older, yeah, like our metabolism isn't like that. Our bodies are not snatched like that anymore. So them ones where you're just eating whatever you want, yeah, and then you realize, wow, man's got love handles now. Man's got breasts. Like it's not really, not everything isn't going back into place. So I agree, I mean, there are some things that I've cut out of my diet. Like, I haven't drank milk in over a year. I only drink almond milk now, you know, and I drink as much water as possible. But I always have water. I'm always having water. So, you know, in terms of, like, the whole vegan lifestyle, I'm not with it because I'm never going to do it.
Do you know, what my saying is that I haven't died so far, so.
real. It's true. Yeah, I've done vegan when at, like, I've done vegan for 21 days.
I've
like
done it for six.
Daniel Fast and that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you know what? If you want to check out someone who did vegan, and you want to die of laughter. Check out Sibi All Smiles' video.
Yo, Sibi, I watched that. That Sibi, is hilarious.
I was in bits.
There was one bit, yeah, where she ate like vegan sausage.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna put it in the video so you guys can see it right now. Yeah. But yeah, it was hilarious. Veganism is good though. It cleanses out your system. Colon. Yeah, because in the meat that we're eating and the things that we're consuming, like you said, like growing breasts and them thing there.
Yeah, breasts like, and that.
What, in the meat?
Bruv, there's so much estrogen in our, like, I tweeted it the other day, there's so much estrogen in our, like, the production of our foods and stuff and what they, like, pump into chicken, that men are starting to grow breasts.
Oh. Watch when you start lactating, bruv, then you'll know it's peak.
Hey.
God forbid.
Do you lactate?
I don't lactate. Oh. I don't lactate. I don't, man. Get out of there, man. Don't make me look stupid.
Get
out
of there.
Get out of here. No, I don't. No, I'm just saying, like, people do lactate.
Yeah, so. No. Well, this is the thing. That's why you got to be careful what you put in your body. Mm. You can't just be eating everything. Like, nowadays, I've said, yeah, after 25, your metabolism is not the same as what it was before that. Mm. Like, I can eat rubbish, yeah, and I will put on so much weight, and it's so much harder to remove. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I'm running right now, so I want to maintain and lose what I have, in fact, to be honest with you.
Very true.
But, yeah. But even speaking about being 25, how you man feeling? How do you guys feel?
Hey, well, nice. 25.
Nice segue. Nice segue.
We're all 25 now.
We're all 25. Wow.
Big man, we're old now. I'm going to be 26 in December.
Small baller.
That's 24. He's actually a baby.
He's a baby, man.
Yeah, no, I'm good, man. How are you?
I don't know.
Are you going through the dun dun dun?
Quarter
life crisis.
I mean, I think I overthink things. I don't even think that I'm 25. I think I'm 26. That's how
but
I feel.
Yeah, you've kind of throw your ages forward like that, but you don't need to, bruv. You've still got another 6 months. Bro.
I know. I still got another like 6 months. Yeah. But I feel like I'm 26 already, and then I start thinking, well, I'm gonna be 27 next year.
So like,
that's how I think.
Yeah.
I don't think about the present. I think about the future way too much.
So when you think about that though, what comes up for you?
Everything. Like, oh, when am I gonna buy my house? I don't think about when I'm going to get married. I'm not too fussed about that because it will eventually happen, but that's not something that is prevalent in my mind right now. But it's just like growing up in general, like, oh, I haven't done this. I haven't achieved certain milestones in my life. And it gets me thinking. I think about it all the time. Like, I should be here. I should be there. Just because, like, the way that, you know, that my career started, I started working like at a really young age. So there were certain goals that I had and I wanted to achieve within my early 20s, and none of that happened. And so you start thinking, well, oh my goodness, what's going on? Like, why am I not where I wanna be? Why have I not achieved these things? And then you get to, and now I'm at this point, I'm 25, and I'm like, I'm 25 years old, and I still haven't achieved the things that I wanted to. And when I talk about what I wanna achieve, I'm talking about like buying a home. Homes are really expensive right now, and I'm still single as well, so it's still hard for me to be able to afford to buy a house by myself. Mm. And, you know, there were other responsibilities in my life to prevent me from being able to buy a home immediately. And so it's annoying that I'm not there. And so I think about it a lot. Mm. Yeah. So that's where I am right now. Would I say that I'm going through like a quarter life crisis? Maybe, yeah. But I think that might be just because I keep on watching. I don't watch what other people are doing, but it's at the back of my mind. And you can't help it because, you know, when people are doing well around you, amongst your circle, obviously, of course, you celebrate it. But at the same time, you start thinking, what about me?
What of my own? Yeah, like that definitely happens. And because not only is it in the back of your mind, but it's also in the front of your face. Like, when you're going through your social media, like scrolling, it's literally there in front of you. Everybody living their best life.
Yeah.
Like, everybody doing bits and starting businesses and being CEOs and managing directors. And, oh, you know, I've got this funding and financing and I've done all of this, whatever, yeah. I think, like, you know, you have to be careful what you take in and what you consume because a lot of it isn't real.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you might be suffering from a quarter life crisis purely for no reason, because what you're seeing itself
isn't actually what is going on.
Like myself, like I'm actually reading a book about quarter life crisis, to be honest, at the moment. The book is called Quarter Life. Oh no, I'm so bad. I forgot what the title is.
You know what's gonna happen?
But it's a play on that word.
Michael's gonna put the link, not a link yet, but it's gonna scroll across the screen on this video, isn't it, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's gonna scroll across. Ah, quarter life calling.
Okay.
Yeah. When your 20s are darker than you expected.
Mad.
Yeah. So, or pursuing your God-given purpose.
Why is the book black, bro?
No. This is another book that I've read called 101 Secrets for Your 20s. Bro, I'm in this quarter life crisis because I just think it's interesting, like millennials, just to read up on it.
Mm. Yeah.
But basically, so the book I'm reading, the guy's talking about how he was in a job that was enviable to his mates, how he was, you know, making all this money, working for a high esteemed organization, did really well at university, was traveling, all of this stuff. And everyone around him thought that he was living his best life, but within his own self, he was crumbling because he was like, this isn't what I wanted to do. So he ended up quitting his job and he's doing something else. I haven't got that far in the book yet. But perception, all that glitters isn't gold.
Mm.
The grass isn't always green on the other side.
Mm.
Yeah.
And such and so forth. I think social media is the big factor in the whole quarter life crisis.
Yeah, I would say that for sure.
We shouldn't be having quarter life. We shouldn't have one. You know, midlife crisis, 50, fair enough.
It's also our parents as well.
Pressure
on
ourselves too early.
I think it's also our parents as well, because these lot bought their houses when it was like 50, 60
but it was
thousand
a completely
pounds.
Different market.
But they don't acknowledge that though. They don't acknowledge that, and then they put pressure on you that you have to buy your house soon. You have to buy it soon. I'm like, I don't have the money for deposits.
Mm.
They're asking for 50, 60 grand.
Yeah.
Well, pull it out for me.
Pull it out
I
for
beg,
me. Yeah.
I beg. Perform a magic trick so the 60,000 can be in my
and
account.
Back in their day.
If not, if you can't perform this magic trick, I beg, don't talk. I'm sorry, mummy.
I'm back in their day.
I wasn't talking about you, mum.
Back in their day, the house was like 60K itself anyway.
Yeah.
Let alone talking about 60K deposit. You know?
And it was deposit free as well. So all they had to do is go to the bank and get a loan.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
So lit, man.
Talk about living your best life. Oh my goodness me. I would have owned two homes.
Are you going through a quarter life crisis? Or have you been through one?
You know what, yeah. Depends what you define. I think it's because I got into like ministry. I don't feel like I am.
Because you feel like you're doing your purpose.
I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. But like, at the same time, like obviously I do have the thought, okay, a house, life, job-wise, that what am I going to do kind of stuff, wife, kids, all that kind of stuff. But it's in the back of my head and it always creeps up. But I feel like I focus... Because you kind of have a focus of like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to see what happens or like kind of like let it follow, let's say. Because that seek ye first the kingdom and then following afterwards. But like, so I feel like I'm really like looking, my vision is looking up. My vision? My sight is faced upwards and not around me kind of things. Yeah, because everything around me can put me down, really. Like, the moment I start thinking about work, the moment I start, like, dwelling, not even thinking about dwell, to dwell is to like, live in that situation. Live in the feeling of being unemployed or live in a situation of being, like, kind of worried about your future. If I dwell on it, I can think about it. That's fine to think about it. But if I dwell on it, then that's when it starts to affect me. So rather than looking like upwards and forwards, like things have just been falling into place in terms of like career wise, like opportunities have come in to do what I want to do, which is like film scoring, which is great. And so I feel like, it's in the back of my mind, but I'm not going to focus on it. I've just decided to be like, okay, I'm not really going to think about it too tough. I'm just going to do what is happening right now. Focus on what's going on right now. But yeah, like, and I was, funny enough, actually, about probably in March, February, I was watching a guy, because he blew up over social media. Name is Jordan Peterson. He had that talk with that woman on Channel 4.
About what?
About feminism.
Okay.
I can't remember. He's basically right wing.
Okay.
And he's basically, yeah, he's right wing, but not far right.
Mm.
He's basically like in between, not in between, but like he's like kind of center right.
Mm.
But he was saying some things obviously she didn't agree with, and a lot of like left wingers didn't agree with. And he was like saying stuff like men and women are not actually equal, but they have the same value, but they're not equal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying it's scientific, all this stuff, and obviously that caused a lot of controversy. But yeah, anyway, so that's how I found out who he was.
Mm.
Then I started watching more videos about him, because he seemed to tell as it is. Like, yeah. he didn't
hold anything
politically
back.
Correct or anything. And there was a video that he did on millennials, and that was very interesting.
What did he say?
Because he said, do what you're good at and not what you love.
Yes.
So he said, do what you're good at and not what you love. And he said, follow, basically, don't even worry about, like, one of the things that he said was not worrying about finding your life partner, like a wife or whatever spouse. He said, do what you're doing
and you
keep following that path. And then at one point you'll meet.
Yeah, I agree with
that. And he's not even like a Christian like that, but obviously he believes in God and like there's something out there. That's him, innit? Mm-hmm. He doesn't like deny Jesus or anything, but he's just not a believer, innit?
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, what he said made a lot of sense. And I started to listen to him a lot more when it came to like talking about millennials and just like life values and stuff. Like, he even said, before I even took it seriously, he talked about like organization, timekeeping, all that kind of stuff. And he was like, how important it is for millennials to practice that when they're young and like basically build on that. So he's someone that, if you're like looking to hear that speech, I think I found it on YouTube at some point. I can't remember what it's called, but it was like a message to millennials or something. Do what you're good at and not what you love. Fair enough, you do what you love and like that's great, but he said that we've been kind of like duped into doing what we love and not doing what we're good at and succeeding. But then, because obviously, like, okay, say for example I love football, but I'm in no shape to play football. Can't even play football, but I love it and I should do what I love, so I quit what I'm doing and then pursue that rather than pursuing what I'm good at,
right?
Where like success will come from. But then there's some people that are good at what they love, and that's when you like,
and that's when you find, because that was my question. I was what about, because people tend to love what they're good at, but I completely agree with that, because I'm a believer that you should actually play to your strengths. We all have weaknesses, and one of the things I've found in the corporate setting personally, I thought you might have found this as well, is that in development meetings, you know, they'll talk about, oh, you've done this well, but you need to work on this, and you need to work on that, and you need to work on that, you need to work on that, you need to work on that, you need to do this.
Dumb manager, and not you.
Not you,
not you, boy.
I didn't say his name, innit?
Oh, okay.
Dumb manager, not you, though.
But yeah, oh, I think he knows. I get what you're saying. Like, because they focus so much on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, I'm never going to be good at everything. I'm never going to have everything together anyway.
Yeah.
So why don't I just play to my strengths and let success come
and
from that
success
route,
come from that
rather than me. Like, focus it, obviously be develop, there's always room to develop. You know that we all have weak points that you need to develop, but like some things it's like, bruh, I'm never gonna, if my brain is not wired that way due to upbringing or whatever my ability or my aptitude, let me just go on my strength. Michael Dapper, comedian, so he decided to play to his strength. I remember listening to a podcast that he was on, and he was saying like he was working and he didn't like it, so he just wanted to do something that plays to his strength. No one would have known Michael Dapper unless he decided to play to his strength.
So you have to
at some point say, look, I'm not great at everything, so let me just follow.
But let me,
it's not just do what I love.
Yeah.
But let me do what I'm good at, so success can come.
What I'm good at and success can come. Like, I think one thing that my teacher, the same one that kind of, I remember speaking about him in our entertainment versus edification. So he actually had a lot of tutor, Brian Henry. Shout out.
Yeah, I remember.
But I remember one time I was like, oh, but I'm not good. Like, we're talking about soloing, like improv. And I was like, yeah, but I can't do all those like tricky lines and stuff and da 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 da, like all these like jazz guys can do. And he was just like, don't just play chords. You're good at chords. And I'm like, but I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Like, I love the way they sound. And he's like, look, bro. He's like, let's just do what you're good at. Play chords.
Yeah.
When people mark you, once you master that, you will get a high mark.
Right.
Like, you would actually succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same way, it's like, we want to do certain things that we're actually not good at.
Yes.
We don't work on what we're not good at. Yeah. But we want to do what we're not good at.
Yep.
Mm.
So instead of us like kind of worrying about what we can't do, how about you focus on the things that you can do and perfect it to a point where you're the specialist
completely
at it. And then you can set your price.
Yep.
You're the man.
Because you are the man. You're the specialist in that area.
Mm.
A dentist isn't an orthodontist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A dentist doesn't deal with braces and deals with cleaning people's teeth. He specializes in an area. He gets good at it.
Right.
And he charges his price.
Even doctors. I found this out, when I was 17 or whatever, I didn't know they had like sections for each part, like cardiology, cardiovascular, all these type of things. Like, and then they had like doctors for kids.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor for a child is not, mm-hmm. they're not going to go and do heart surgery now, mm-hmm. are they? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not, well, not heart surgery, but they're not going to be a heart doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They would have knowledge in it. But that's not their specialty.
Exactly.
They're still doctors and they're still professionals and they still get the money.
Mm-hmm.
But they are specialists on the heart. They're specialists on the lungs. They're specialists on the brain.
Yeah.
And that's what, just do what you're good at.
I completely back that, man. Mm. And I think if more people did what they were good at and stopped watching what everyone else is doing and trying to be like other people, then you would be able to perfect your own craft. You know, like I think there's a healthy balance between inspiration and comparison.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fine line, not healthy balance. There's a fine line. You know, you can be inspired by someone, but the moment you start to step over into that, oh, I'm comparing myself to them now and I want to be like them, that's when you're in dangerous territory.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I know it sounds cliche, but you're a unique person. You have your own gifts and abilities.
Yeah, you're different.
So believe in that. You're different. The thing that you're admiring about them, you're now shunning down what is good about you and what makes you an individual.
Yeah.
So property ladder is obviously a big thing when it comes to like the whole millennial quarter life crisis.
They all want
to
do it.
Because it's just so difficult in London and across other places in the world to get on the property ladder. But what are some of the other, you know, we've talked about relationships, we've talked about work. I guess my question, you've kind of answered it, but my question was, what are some of the other factors that influence the millennial quarter life crisis? But yeah, I was gonna say like purpose. I feel like if you're working in where you feel you're called, because I think that's the big thing for millennials as well.
Right.
What's my calling? Why am I here? Mm. These big questions that we have. Yeah. Why am I here? Why am I on earth? If you walk in your calling, would you be having a quarter life crisis? Or are people literally working in areas that they don't want
to
work in?
I think it's possible to still have a quarter-life crisis, and that's only due to the fact that some people do continue watching what other people are doing.
Mm.
So you could be walking in your calling, but then someone else's calling is moving faster than yours.
Yeah.
Oy. Not knowing that yours is taking its own time. Do you know what I mean? So then it kind of puts you in that mental state of like, am I not doing enough? What am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not doing anything wrong. All you just need is that consistency.
And continue.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's possible, but it's about knowing, once you know what your calling is and you're in it, you need to have that faith and just keep going, basically.
Yeah.
Have faith in what you're doing, have faith in yourself and just be like, okay, yeah.
And are like, you even, like, sorry, I cut you off, sorry.
No, it's cool.
Are you even successful in what your calling is at that moment?
Yeah, but that's the thing, what is success?
And what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
It depends on what that person measures success as.
Exactly, yeah.
It's relative to everybody else.
Again, like to the person that has that seat, looks around them and they see someone else's calling moving faster than theirs,
mm-hmm.
they won't look at their calling as a success
because
they're seeing someone else's progress and they're calling that success.
Mm.
Whereas your own one is success. Like, you could get an interview and you see that as success. Someone else gets a job that you say, oh, that's success. But you don't see your own interview, being able to get the interview is a success.
Mm.
Yesterday, we were talking about getting the audition for a role.
Mm-hmm.
Even getting the audition means that you are actually up there.
Mm-hmm.
If they reject you, they reject you. Mm-hmm. But getting the audition means that you're successful
exactly.
That you're an actor someone actually considered. Exactly. That, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think that's...
Yeah.
It is possible.
I think as well, like, one of the things that you've got to remember is to count your blessings. Count Again, your it's blessings. A cliche thing, and we've heard it many a times before.
Count but your blessings.
Because
really.
we live in a 24 hour news cycle where, like, we're always looking for the next thing. It's like, something's dropped. Okay, cool. What's next? Yeah. And if you're not careful, you will forget about certain goals and successes that you've had in your life that, you know, it should big you up and build you up to think, oh, you know what? I'm actually a success. It's like, for example, whenever you redo up your CV after you've done a job for a period of time, you're like, rah, I've actually learned I've done loads on this, and it makes you feel good because then it brings forth to remembrance what you've done.
Yeah.
So, like, that scripture that says, count your blessings, is that a scripture? I don't know if that's a scripture. Is it a scripture? I feel like it's just one of them things that people say.
That people say a lot, isn't
Name it? Them one by one or something.
Golden rule book.
Is it? I don't know, scripture, one song, I think. Yeah, it's a song. Count your blessings, name them one by one.
Mm.
If it is a scripture, someone correct me.
But I'm pretty sure, like, give thanks, thanksgiving.
Yeah,
like,
giving thanks so in all circumstances and stuff like that. Like, gratitude, I think, is a good
part of prayer.
Way to kind of fend off that that kind of depression or anxiety about me not being where where I want to be.
It's a part of prayer as well. So if you're praying about it, that thanksgiving, being grateful, counting your blessings is a part of, do you know what I mean?
It is.
Our process.
And it makes you feel good as well.
It does.
I know, again, this is really cliche to say, but really just focus on yourself. And let's not allow, our age to define where we're meant to be. I think that's a huge cause for why some people might be in a quarter life crisis. You don't have to be married at your 26, 27, okay? You'll be okay. You'll be all right. Just don't watch what other people are doing and don't. And again, it's really hard. I'm saying it, but it's really hard to do. But if you feel as if you're being put under pressure by your relatives, as long as you have a plan and you're able to follow it, that's all that really matters.
Plan,
to be honest,
the
with
plan
you.
Is what matters really.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
the plan. If you're out here saying that I'm not getting anything done and there's no plan, well then you only have yourself to blame. To be honest, have a plan together and just stick to it and follow it, and hopefully you'll get there.
Yeah.
If you don't, again, don't worry about it. Just sit back down and put another plan together.
And set obtainable goals,
targets,
like, break down what it is you want to achieve
and
make daily incremental steps towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll never make the end goal if you're not actually taking steps to get there. It's just like anything. Like, if you want to go around the corner to get some chips, unless you start walking there, you'll never be able to buy those chips. So you'll never meet the objective which you desperately want. So you just got to break things down into bite-sized things, into bite-sized steps, and go from there, man.
Shall get there.
I'm going to give for two. So first, to the believers listening, obviously, seek ye first the kingdom. Like, that really, really, really works. Like, it really does. The thing is, just obviously I said have faith in yourself and your ability and stuff, but also have faith in God. Like, he does care about what you want. He cares about your needs, and just put him first, and then when you work hard with what you're doing, he backs you up with what you're doing and gives you the grace to do whatever you need to do, whatever you want to do at that point. And also just making sure that you're always thankful, grateful. Yeah. And that's great. If you're non-believers, fall forward. Something that Denzel Washington always taught on falling forward. People tend to be like, okay, I need something to fall back on. But you shouldn't be thinking about falling backwards or falling back I'm going to fail, so I'm going to do this. You should think about, okay, like, I'm going to fall. So if I fail, there's going to be progress. Even if I fail, there's going to be progress. Find yourself in a place where you're like, okay, I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to look on, okay, what if I get that mindset literally out of your brain and be like, I'm just going to go for what I need to go for. I'm going to go for what I want to do. And if I fail, it's going to be a learning process. Don't be scared to fail. Don't be scared to fail, because we all fail. We failed when we were kids. Doesn't mean that we gave up walking as soon as we fell down. Do you know what I mean? When you were a baby, you had that mentality of, I'm going to keep walking. But the older you get, you tend to lose faith, let's say, in what you do. So as a child, you stand up, you try and walk, you fall. You may cry, but do you know what you do? You stand up again. Yeah. If it's not right then and there, you do it the next day. Mm. Like, it's so the getting up is so instant when you're a child, when you fall. But when you're older, we fall and we take months to get back up. And that is the issue. So you need to overcome that stage of, like, basically feeling bad about your failure. Get up, start again. And this is, boy, non-believers, but yeah, just Christ told us to be childlike, because these are the qualities of children that we don't seem to get. The reason why, when you're a child, you learn faster. When you're a child, you do this. Or when you're a child, you don't have cares. The child, there's so much that we can learn. Yeah, fears. There's so much that we can learn from children that will benefit us as adults. Mm. And that's why God told us to be childlike, because we will be fearless and whenever we go for something.
Yep.
We don't think too much about failure. When we do fail, we get back up straight away. Like, it's not I'm beating myself up. So, like, yeah, man.
Look, here we are walking. Forward. We're walking evidence.
We're now walking.
Like,
we're running.
We used to stumble and drop down. Yeah, we're running. We're doing all sorts.
Yeah. Your evidence of your getting up and trying again. The fact that, like, most of you, some of you are walking, running, competing in the Olympics, like, that shows that getting up as soon as you can, like, at some point you will succeed. So
it's so vital, man. And
so,
like,
vital.
I love that you like, and like, even a few scriptures as well to encourage people on that, like, if you have pen and paper
or phone,
it's time to get out.
Proverbs.
We're gonna give you some scriptures, man. A lot of them are in Proverbs.
Yeah.
But this first one is quite a long one, but I'm gonna read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Luke 14:28-33. And it says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Yeah. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace."
Yeah.
So preparation is key. You need to be able to sit down and go, what is the cost of this dream? Monetarily, time-wise, what is it going to cost me to be able to obtain this? Plan it out. The Bible also says in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain, that he who sees it may run with it. So write the vision down, make it plain, so that you can see, okay, this is what I need to do in order to achieve this goal. Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So if you're quick and trying to get everything quickly, like by tomorrow and whatever, it's going to end in poverty. This is what the Bible is saying. But the plans of the diligent shall surely to abundance. Yeah, yeah. That's a promise right there. Do you know what I mean? Do not be anxious. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, what you said about gratitude, let your requests be made known to
That's
God.
Right,
so those are just a few. I could reel off loads of them, to be honest.
There's bear
in there, man. It's bear about it. But, you know, patience is key. Persistence is key. Planning is key. And do not compare yourself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:12, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Can we get like a bomb effect just to come in? Enoch, edit that in. Yeah,
yeah, put that in there, Enoch. Yeah, that's cool.
Your voice will be the edit.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully that's encouraged some of you. Again, thank you for listening to another episode of The Point Podcast with Afro, Enoch and Michael. Please get in touch with us. We want to know what you guys think. It really encourages us when we hear your thoughts. So hit us up on Twitter at The Point PDCST, at The Point Podcast, at The Point Official on Instagram, and at The Point Live on Snapchat. You can also hit us up on our website, www.thepointofficial.com, where we put a lot of our blogging content, which you can check out as well. And tell your mates, man, to subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends and whoever needs encouragement. That's what we're here for, man.
Also, leave us a 5-star review on Apple.
Please do. We've got 5 stars so far from a few people, and we don't want anything lower.
So 5-star, please leave a little review. Tell us how much you love the podcast. And if there's anything that you don't like, tell us as well. We love the criticism.
5-star.
All right, cool.
Safe people, then.
We're gone. Ra, ra, ra.
Gone.